Hi, good evening, and welcome to our study for November 16th, 2023. Ward Green with you again today. So, little children, let us attempt to move quickly through our material, and then we can see how much time we'll have at the end today, because we want to catch up from yesterday, if possible. The Born and Raised article for today, it's chapter 11, paragraph 10. When we cannot improve on the Egyptian Old Kingdom, BCE 2686, start date, we may calculate the year one of Thoth, with him ruling 27 years. I'm just checking my audio. As 2686 plus 27 equals BCE 2713. Adding 27 to 2686. And in Eusebius, Menes ruled for 60 years, which gives year one for Menes, as 2713 plus 60 equals 2773 BCE, which is a number close to what we found was the Sothic cycle beginning. That's a good confirmation. The reason we may believe that the Old Kingdom started in BCE 2686 is further strengthened by subtracting 2,365 years of the Old Chronicle. It's a document from ancient times, but starting not from year one of Mestreim, who was a pre-Egyptian king Nimrod in Shinar, might be the same as Menes, actually, we think it is, but from year one of Thoth in BCE 2713, we subtract the 2365, which gives 2713 minus 2365 equals BCE 348. In the, I'm just trying to confirm and verify that. Yeah, doing the math in my head. In the reign of Necténebo, which is some 15 years before Alexander ruled Egypt, as is stated in the Old Chronicle in excellent agreement. By the way, Alexander ruled Egypt from nearly BCE 332. So that's perfect agreement there. Remarkable. From Thoth year 1, which is really the start of Egypt, we may calculate Sargon year 1 by using the 443 years of the Old Chronicle, quote, generations of the Sothic cycle, end quote, and subtracting this number from year 1 of Thoth, then adding 12 years, according to Mr. Jackson on page 327, to give 2713 minus 443 plus 12 equals BCE 2282 year 1 of Sargon I. Thus does Thoth year 1, 2713, agree with Akkad also. That is, if we have year 1 of Sargon as 2282. The Kitab al-Magal says that Nimrod died after 69 years, which from the death of Shem in BCE 2780 in the BG, which is the Blessed Genealogy, would be a death in BCE 2711, agreeing roughly with the year 1 BCE 2713 for Thoth, and neither number differs much from the BCE 2716 date used by us before. There are different probable solutions for this time period. So early in the kingdoms of Shinar and Egypt, these are very early kingdoms. If we keep the dispersion of the Tower of Babel at BCE 2745, there are 2745 minus 2686 equals 59 years, exactly the number of years given in Eratosthenes for Athothis, the second king of Thebes, Egypt, the first king Menes having 62 years. So that's the end of our study for today in the Born and Raised article. Our scripture for today, little ones, is from Ecclesiastes 7 and 5. Better is it to hear the rebuke of someone wise than to be the man hearing the song of the stupid ones. And 1 Samuel 16. Now, Samuel has just said that Jehovah has ripped the royal rule away from Saul in the previous chapter. Eventually now, Jehovah said to Samuel, "For how long will you be mourning for Saul while I, on the other hand, have rejected him from ruling as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I shall send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, because I have provided among his sons a king for myself." But Samuel said, "How can I go? Once Saul has heard of it, he will certainly kill me." And Jehovah went on to say, "A young cow of the herd you should take with you, and you must say, 'To sacrifice to Jehovah is why I have come.' And you must call Jesse to the sacrifice. And I, for my part, shall make known to you what you should do, and you must anoint for me the one whom I designate to you." And Samuel proceeded to do what Jehovah spoke. When he came to Bethlehem, the older men of the city began to tremble. This is what's called David's city. Also, Bethlehem is David's city. At meeting him, and so they said, "Does your coming mean peace?" To this he said, "It means peace. To sacrifice to Jehovah is why I have come. Sanctify yourselves, and you must come with me to the sacrifice." Then he sanctified Jesse and his sons, after which he called them to the sacrifice. And it came about that as they came in, and he caught sight of Eliab, he at once said, "Surely his anointed one is before Jehovah." But Jehovah said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance and the height of his stature, for I have rejected him. For not the way man sees is the way God sees. Because mere man sees what appears to the eyes, but as for Jehovah, he sees what the heart is." Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass before Samuel, and he said, "Neither has Jehovah chosen this one." Next Jesse had Shammah pass by, but he said, "Neither has Jehovah chosen this one." So Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel. Still Samuel said to Jesse, "Jehovah has not chosen these." Finally Samuel said to Jesse, "Are these all the boys?" To this he said, "The youngest one has till now been left out, and look, he is pasturing the sheep." At that Samuel said to Jesse, "Do send and fetch him, because we shall not sit down to meal until his coming here." Accordingly he sent and had him come. Now he was ruddy. And we need to look at the study Bible version of this verse. He was ruddy with beautiful eyes and handsome in appearance. Then Jehovah said, "Get up, anoint him, for this is the one." The reason we look at that is because the words "young man" do not appear in many translations. It's just that he was ruddy and beautiful, and he may have been very young. He wasn't necessarily a man in any sense of the word as to his maturity. He may have been very immature. Then Jehovah said, "Get up, anoint him, for this is he." Accordingly, Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the spirit of Jehovah began to be operative upon David from that day forward. Later, Samuel rose and went his way to Ramah. And the very spirit of Jehovah departed from Saul, and a bad spirit from Jehovah terrorized him. And the servants of Saul began to say to him, and we don't know how long this was after the anointing of David. This may have even occurred after the victory of David over Goliath. And the servants of Saul began to say to him, "Hear now, God's spirit is terrorizing you. Let our Lord please command your servants before you that they should look for a skilled man playing upon the harp." And it must occur that when God's bad spirit comes to be upon you, he will have to play with his hand, and it will certainly be well with you. So Saul said to his servants, provide me, please, a man doing well at playing, and you must bring him to me. And one of the attendants proceeded to answer and say, look, I have seen how a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite is skilled at playing, and he is a valiant, mighty man, and a man of war, and an intelligent speaker, and a well-formed man. So that was later, after David was grown up, at some point, and Jehovah is with him. Then Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, do send to me David your son, who is with the flock. So Jesse took an ass, bread, and a skin bottle of wine, and the kid of the goats, and sent them by the hand of David his son to Saul. Thus David came to Saul and attended upon him, and he got to loving him very much, and he came to be his armor bearer. Consequently, Saul sent to Jesse, saying, let David please keep attending upon me. Consequently, it says, this may have been after David's defeat of Goliath, actually, that in fact, it says that, as we're going to find out in tomorrow's study, if we get there tomorrow. Let David please keep attending upon me, for he has found favor in my eyes. And it occurred that when God's spirit came to be upon Saul, David took the harp and played with his hand, and there was relief for Saul, and it was well with him, and the bad spirit departed from upon him. That's all for 1 Samuel chapter 16, which is today's study. Now Jeremiah 19, which we didn't get to yesterday, this is what Jehovah said. Go, and you must get an earthenware flask of a potter, and some of the older men of the people, and some of the older men of the priests, and you must go out to the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is at the entrance of the gate of the potsherds, and there you must proclaim the words that I shall speak to you, and you must say, hear the word of Jehovah, O you kings of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. This is what Jehovah of armies, the God of Israel, has said. Now, these are very strong words. Here I am bringing a calamity upon this place, of which when anyone hears, his ears will tingle, for the reason that they have left me and have proceeded to make this place unrecognizable and to make sacrificial smoke in it to other gods whom they had not known. They and their forefathers and the kings of Judah, and they have filled this place with the blood of the innocent ones. And they have burnt built the high places of the Baal in order to burn their sons in the fire. That is the most shocking thing, perhaps, that they did. As whole burnt offerings to the Baal, they burnt their sons in the fire. Something that I had not commanded or spoken of, and that had not come up into my heart. Therefore, look, there are days coming, is the utterance of Jehovah, when this place will be called no more Topheth and the valley of the son of Hinnom, but the valley of the killing. And I will make void the council of Judah and of Jerusalem in this place, and I will cause them to fall by the sword before their enemies and by the hand of those seeking for their soul, and I will give their dead bodies as food to the flying creatures of the heavens and to the beasts of the earth. And I will make this city an object of astonishment and something to be whistled at. Every last one passing along by it will stare in astonishment and whistle over all its plagues. And I will make them eat the flesh of their sons and the flesh of their daughters, and they will eat each one the flesh of his fellow man because of the tightness and because of the stress with which their enemies and those seeking for their soul will hem them in. And you must break the flask before the eyes of the men who are going with you, and you must say to them, this is what Jehovah of armies has said. In the same way, I shall break this people and this city as someone breaks the vessel of the potter, so that it is no more able to be repaired, and in Topheth they will bury until there is no more place to bury. That is how I shall do to this place, is the utterance of Jehovah, and to the inhabitants of it, even to make this city like Topheth. And the houses of Jerusalem and the houses of the kings of Judah must become like the place of Topheth. Unclean ones, that is, all the houses upon the roofs of which they made sacrificial smoke to all the army of the heavens, and there was a pouring out of drink offerings to other gods. And Jeremiah proceeded to come from Topheth, to which Jehovah had sent him to prophesy, and to stand in the courtyard of the house of Jehovah, and say to all the people, "This is what Jehovah of armies, the God of Israel, has said. Here I am bringing upon this city and upon all its cities all the calamities that I have spoken against it, because they have hardened their neck in order not to obey my words." And we see, that's the end of Jeremiah 19, we see that this prophecy about them eating their sons and their daughters did come true when they were hemmed in under siege, when the city of Jerusalem was besieged. It did become desperate for them, that they were starving and they had to find things to eat, and some of them even turned to eating their own sons and daughters, the flesh of their sons and daughters, instead of, well, they didn't have any other food, but instead of starving, they chose that, which is a prophecy that was made, which we just read. Now, Pashur, the son of Immer, the priest, who was also the leading commissioner in the house of Jehovah, now that we're moving to today's reading in Jeremiah, Pashur kept listening to Jeremiah while prophesying these words. Then Pashur struck Jeremiah the prophet and put him into the stocks that were in the upper gate of Benjamin, which was in the house of Jehovah. But it came about on the following day that Pashur proceeded to let Jeremiah out of the stocks. And Jeremiah now said to him, "Jehovah has called your name not Pashur, but Fright All Around. For this is what Jehovah has said. Here I am making you a fright to yourself and to all your lovers, and they will certainly fall by the sword of their enemies while your eyes will be looking on. And all Judah I shall give into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he will actually take them into exile in Babylon and strike them down with the sword. And I will give all the stored up things of this city, and all its product, and all its precious things, and all the treasures of the kings of Judah, I am going to give into the hand of their enemies, and they will certainly plunder them and take them and bring them to Babylon. And as for you, O Pashur, and all the inhabitants of your house, you will go into captivity. And to Babylon you will come, and there you will die, and there you yourself will be buried with all your lovers, because you have prophesied to them in falsehood. You have fooled me, O Jehovah, so that I was fooled. You used your strength against me, so that you prevailed. I became an object of laughter all day long. Everyone is holding me in derision. For as often as I speak, I cry out. Violence and despoiling are what I call out. For the word of Jehovah became for me a cause for reproach and for jeering all day long. And I said, I am not going to make mention of him, and I shall speak no more in his name. And in my heart it proved to be like a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I got tired of holding it in, and I was unable to endure it. For I heard the bad report of many. There was fright all around. Tell out, that we may tell out about him. Every mortal man bidding me, peace. They are watching for my limping. Perhaps he will be fooled, so that we may prevail against him and take our revenge upon him. But Jehovah was with me, like a terrible, mighty one. That is why the very ones persecuting me will stumble and not prevail. They will certainly be put to much shame, because they will not have prospered. Their indefinitely lasting humiliation will be one that will not be forgotten. But you, O Jehovah of armies, are examining the righteous one. You are seeing the kidneys and the heart. May I see your vengeance upon them, for to you I have revealed my case at law. Sing to Jehovah, you people. Praise Jehovah, for he has delivered the soul of the poor one out of the hand of evildoers. Cursed be the day on which I was born. May the day that my mother gave me birth not become blessed. Cursed be the man that brought good news to my father, saying, there has been born to you a son, a male. He positively made him rejoice. And that very man must become like cities that Jehovah has overthrown while he has felt no regret. And he must hear an outcry in the morning and an alarm signal at the time of midday. Why did he not definitely put me to death from the womb, that my mother should not become to me my burial place, or that my mother should become to me my burial place, and her womb be pregnant to time indefinite? Why is it that I have come forth from the very womb in order to see hard work and grief, and that my days should come to their end in mere shame? Why did he not definitely put me to death from the womb, that my mother should become to me my burial place, and her womb be pregnant to time indefinite? What a statement in verse 17. Imagine a woman pregnant to time indefinite. So Jeremiah chapter 20 has been concluded. We're now ready to read Colossians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus through God's will, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy ones and faithful brothers in union with Christ at Colossae. May you have undeserved kindness and peace from God our Father. We thank God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ always when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in connection with Christ Jesus and the love you have for all the holy ones, because of the hope that is being reserved for you in the heavens. This is the heavenly hope talked about. This hope you heard of before by the telling of the truth of that good news which has presented itself to you, even as it is bearing fruit and increasing in all the world, and just as it is doing also among you from the day you heard and accurately knew the undeserved kindness of God in truth. That is what you have learned from Epaphras, our beloved fellow slave, who is a faithful minister of the Christ on our behalf, who also disclosed to us your love in a spiritual way. That is why also we, from the very day we heard of it, have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the accurate knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual comprehension, in order to walk worthily of Jehovah to the end of fully pleasing him, as you go on bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the accurate knowledge of God, being made powerful with all power to the extent of his glorious might, so as to endure fully and be long-suffering with joy, thanking the Father who rendered you suitable for your participation in the inheritance of the holy ones in the light. That was a long sentence. He delivered us from the authority of the darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, by means of whom we have our release by ransom, the forgiveness of our sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, because by means of him all other things were created in the heavens and upon the earth, the things visible and the things invisible, no matter whether they are thrones or lordships or governments or authorities. All other things have been created through him and for him. Also, he is before all other things, and by means of him all other things were made to exist. And he is the head of the body, the congregation. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that he might become the one who is first in all things, because God saw good for all fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile again to himself all other things by making peace through the blood he shed on the torture stake, no matter whether they are the things upon the earth or the things in the heavens. Indeed, you who were once alienated and enemies because your minds were on the works that were wicked, he now has again reconciled by means of that one's fleshly body through his death, in order to present you holy and unblemished and open to no accusation before him, provided, of course, that you continue in the faith, established on the foundation and steadfast, and not being shifted away from the hope of that good news which you heard and which was preached in all creation that is under heaven. Of this good news I, Paul, became a minister. I am now rejoicing in my sufferings for you, and I in my turn am filling up what is lacking of the tribulations of the Christ in my flesh on behalf of his body, which is the congregation. I became a minister of this congregation in accordance with the stewardship from God which was given me in your interest to preach the word of God fully, the sacred secret that was hidden from the past systems of things and from the past generations. But now it has been made manifest to his holy ones, to whom God has been pleased to make known what are the glorious riches of this sacred secret among the nations. It is Christ, in union with you, the hope of his glory. He is the one we are publicizing, admonishing every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man complete in union with Christ. To this end, I am indeed working hard, exerting myself in accordance with the operation of him, and which is at work in me with power. Colossians chapter 2, since chapter 1 was yesterday's reading, for I want you to realize how great a struggle I am having in behalf of you and of those at Laodicea and of all those who have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be comforted, that they may be harmoniously joined together in love and with a view to all the riches of the full assurance of their understanding, with a view to an accurate knowledge of the sacred secret of God, namely Christ. Carefully concealed in him are all the treasures of wisdom and of knowledge. This I am saying, that no man may delude you with persuasive arguments, for though I am absent in the flesh, all the same I am with you in the spirit, rejoicing and beholding your good order and the firmness of your faith toward Christ. Therefore, as you have accepted Christ Jesus the Lord, go on walking in union with him, rooted and being built up in him, and being stabilized in the faith, just as you were taught, overflowing with faith in thanksgiving. Look out! Perhaps there may be someone who will carry you off as his prey through the philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary things of the world, and not according to Christ, because it is in him that all the fullness of the divine quality dwells bodily. And so you are possessed of a fullness by means of him who is the head of all government and authority. By relationship with him, you were also circumcised, and with a circumcision performed without hands, by the stripping off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision that belongs to the Christ, for you were buried with him in his baptism, and by relationship with him, you were also raised up together through your faith in the operation of God who raised him up from the dead. Furthermore, though you were dead in your trespasses and in the uncircumcised state of your flesh, God made you alive together with him. He kindly forgave us our trespasses and blotted out the handwritten document against us, which consisted of decrees and which was in opposition to us, and he has taken it out of the way by nailing it to the torture stake. Stripping the government's and the authorities bare, he exhibited them in open public as conquered, leading them in a triumphal procession by means of it. Therefore, let no man judge you in eating and drinking, or in respect of a festival, or of an observance of the new moon, or of a Sabbath, for those things are a shadow of the things to come. But the reality belongs to the Christ. Let no man deprive you of the prize, who takes delight in a mock humility and a form of worship of the angels, taking his stand on the things he has seen, puffed up without proper cause by his fleshly frame of mind, whereas he is not holding fast to the head, to the one from whom all the body, being supplied and harmoniously joined together by means of its joints and ligaments, goes on growing with the growth that God gives. If you died together with Christ toward the elementary things of the world, why do you, as if living in the world, further subject yourselves to the decrees, do not handle, nor taste, nor touch, respecting things that are all destined to destruction by being used up, in accordance with the commands and teachings of men? Those very things are indeed possessed of an appearance of wisdom in a self-imposed form of worship and mock humility, a severe treatment of the body, but they are of no value in combating the satisfying of the flesh. And if we look at the insight reference here, it's from talking about self-chastisement. There's a reference there. And then from the Watchtower, April 1st, 1964, Even today, there is a danger of coming into bondage to religious restrictions from which one has been freed by the sacrifice of Christ. The many Jews who do not accept Jesus as the Messiah still feel obligated to observe various features of the Mosaic Law. They keep scores of dietary laws, observe feast days, as well as different Sabbaths. Even until now, they do not accept the freedom granted by Christ. So Christ gave us freedom from this handwritten law, the law of Moses, is the thing referred to there, that Jews were under the law of Moses and Christ freed the Jews from that completely, so they're not bound by a written law anymore. The law is written on their hearts, of course, according to Jeremiah 31 and 33, the new covenant, which is talked about in the book of Jeremiah. We do have a few minutes, so maybe we can review that again, because it's so important to know about it. Jeremiah chapter 31, I'm just wondering where it begins. I know it begins somewhere around, verse 31. So, chapter 31, verse 31 of Jeremiah, there are days coming. He talks about a new covenant there in verse 31. It's coming. At that time of Jeremiah, it was coming. And then in verse 33, I will put my law within them, and in their heart I shall write it. So that frees, Jesus freed by his sacrifice. He did away with the Mosaic Law, and he was the one who was responsible for this new covenant that would be ushered in their heart. I shall write it. Right. Psalm 37:31, the law of his God is in his heart. His steps will not wobble. It's even from the psalm there. Fascinating. But Jesus said not a particle of the law would pass away. And many people try to represent Jesus they try to represent Jesus as somebody who wasn't teaching the Mosaic or wasn't in harmony with the Mosaic Law, but that's very untrue. John 17:17, your word is truth, Jesus said. He believed in God's word. Jesus said, truly I say to you that sooner would heaven and earth pass away, Matthew 5:18, than for one smallest letter from the law to pass away. Anyway, that's it for today. We're done our time. I'm Ward Green. I love you very much. It's November 16th, 2023. The time's 20:39 hours Eastern Standard Time. This is Crow and Cassie, in my behalf, saying bye for now.